All right, everybody, thanks again for listening to Mental Health Monday, where we aim to provide an open space for dialogues about a number of mental health topics and how folks are being affected on local, state, and national levels. Guests and topics on the show range from psychiatrists, psychologists, school drug and grief counselors, and any other professionals in the field. Testimonials from those affected by mental health issues, such as students, veterans, first responders, and more. And we also hear from folks who are organizing events around the community that promote or bring awareness to mental health issues, with the main goal being normalizing these mental health dialogues. Our guest today is Rosie Campbell, who's currently getting her master's in clinical mental health counseling at Capella University. She also currently hosts a mental health-focused podcast called The Psycho Girl, which our listeners just heard a quick sample of. And Rosie is going to discuss mental health from the angle of a student currently learning the subject, why she decided to get into the mental health field, and some background info on The Psycho Girl podcast and where and how you can listen to it. But before we dive into all of that today, Rosie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you coming in and chatting with us today. As you know, I mean, Mental Health Monday, we try to have a wide variety of guests on the show. So I thought it was a really cool subject that you brought up, one that we did at one of our last interviews for Coffee Time. You mentioned that you're getting your degree, your master's degree, and that you're starting this podcast. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I haven't had another mental health focused podcast be discussed on the show yet. And I think the platform for all of them should be going out to everybody, having those kind of conversations. And I also wanted to get that that angle of mental health from someone who's learning about it at a collegiate level and at a master's level. So before we dive into all of that, I would just love it if you could kind of give folks a little bit of background information on yourself and why you decided to get into the mental health game.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's a subject that I've always been super interested in. I've always been really drawn to it. I feel like my friends always have dubbed me as like the friend counselor. So anytime they're having an issue with something, whether it's relationships or whatever, they always come to me for advice. And rather than just, you know, I guess spewing out nonsense to them, I decided that I wanted to go to school for that because I want to actually be able to help people, and have that help have substance to it, not just, you know, my opinions.
Well, but you found that that was, that you enjoyed, giving that advice though, correct? When your friends were talking and you're like, okay, but now I want that advice to have that kind of true meaning and back.
Yeah, absolutely. To have like that education to back it up because, you know, that can also be damaging, just throwing out, you know, opinions and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's always been a passion of mine. And now going to school, that's just really solidified that for me. And it's just, you know, opened my eyes to how much goes into it. So, yeah, I decided to go to school for that. So I got my bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Wyoming back in 2020. And then I went straight into Capella, and I am set to graduate in December of 2023.
Congrats. Yeah. That's huge. Huge. And not easy either.
No, definitely not.
I started out in the psychology field. I was a psychology major when I went to college back in 2006, that first year. And I did not have how do I want to put this? The idea of never ending learning and going to school forever and getting masters. I was like, no, it's 4 years and you're done. That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. I didn't have that in me. So I'm glad to see other people do and are passionate about it and going for it.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, when I started college back in 2008, same thing. I knew I always wanted to go into psychology. I started it. And then had the exact same thought that you did. I'm like, I do not want to go to school for the next 8 years. So I redirected, went to do something else, redirected again, went to do something else, and then came full circle and came back to it. And I'm like, no, I do want to do this. So I kind of made a career of being in school for the last, you know, however many years, but I'm glad I finally did it. So.
Well, and hey, another way of looking at that is well-rounded.
Yes.
I mean, seriously though, and I don't mean that even as just a silver lining thing. If you are looking to someone to be a mental health counselor for you, it is kind of comforting knowing that they're not so just hyper focused on that, that they've had a full life, that they've lived, they've gone and experienced other things, because then you're a little bit more informed when you go to talk to those people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the multicultural competence piece is so huge, which I'm super appreciative of, because it hasn't always been that way. And so, like you said, well-rounded, having those experiences and being able to not be so narrow-minded, because as a counselor, you don't want to be that way, because you're going to see a variety of clients that have had their own experiences and their own, everything. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's super important.
Now, you mentioned that it was something that you were always interested in, getting into the mental health field. I am interested in finding out what was kind of the specifics of that.
I would say, for me personally, I would say a lot of it had to do with family stuff. I am one of 8 children. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. As you can imagine, there's a lot going on in my family. Just seeing how, different things with either myself or with my siblings or even friends, just seeing how different experiences shaped people and who they became. Also seeing how maybe the same experience, if the same experience happened to 2 people and one went this way and the other went that way.
The reasons behind
that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big person, and I talk about this on my podcast, but I'm a big, I'm big on needing to know why. Like, yeah, we can have something that happens, but I need to know why that happened. And so the psychology behind it has always been so interesting to me. So I would say definitely just my growing up, my experiences, family, things like that, things that have happened to me, that was a big motivator. And also, I think the lack of mental health resources, like even for me growing up, mm-hmm. was huge. And so realizing that there's such a need, and there is such a need for awareness so that we can squash that stigma that has been attached to mental health for so long. Like, I just really wanted to advocate for that.
100%. Luckily, I mean, we're still not there yet, but in the past, like, I would even just say 3 or 4 years, like, mm-hmm. leaps and strides in terms of people talking about. I think there's a mental health crisis right now. I think there always has been, but people are just more talking about it now, finally.
Absolutely. I would agree. And I think, again, on my podcast, I did a little bonus content when, I don't know if you've seen, but I think it's called the Selena Gomez, Myself and Me, or something like that, mm-hmm. whatever it was. But, it's so important when there's people like that that have such a big platform to really talk about it. But on the other hand, like you just said, we've always had this mental health crisis. And, if it takes celebrities speaking up finally for that to have some awareness and stuff, then so be it. Mm-hmm, but that was a big motivator for me, is that, we need to be talking about this. This should not be shameful. Nobody feels, nervous or scared or ashamed to go to the doctor if they broke their leg. So if there's something quote unquote broken going on in your brain or something that needs a little bit of help, you shouldn't feel ashamed of that. You mm-hmm. shouldn't be embarrassed. And it's normal. I mean, mental health issues, they're normal. So
exactly. And just think about how many long-term things can be avoided if people would have just been able to talk right at the very beginning.
Absolutely. I agree.
And then kind of segging back to what it's like to be a student in the mental health field, can you kind of break it down for us in terms of some of the classes that you've taken, maybe the ones that stuck out with you, or just what a modern approach is to mental health like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure that everyone's experience is a little bit different. So my classes are all online, mm-hmm. which doesn't work for everyone, and that's totally fine. It works for me because I am a mom, I'm a wife, and at one point for the majority of my schooling, I was also a full-time employee, so online was kind of the only way that I could do it.
Right.
And so for me at Capella, I take 2 classes that are 4 credits each, and I take those in a 10-week quarter, so it's like really condensed. Pretty time consuming. There's a lot going on, but it's all online. Mainly a lot of discussions, interactions with peers, papers, things like that. And then you go to residency 1, which I went to last or this last May, so May of 2022. And it's like a 4 or 5 day residency, and you are literally in clinicals from 7:45 a.m. until 4:45 p.m. It is very intense. Such an invaluable experience, though. It was amazing. I learned so much about myself, things that I need to work on. One main thing being I'm just like never wanting to hurt anyone's feelings. So I use a lot of tentative language, like, well, maybe this or possibly that. And it's like, nope, let's just, you know, cut that out. So it was really interesting. I learned a lot and a lot about myself. So then now I'm just finishing up this quarter, and the next quarter I'll be going to residency too. So again, it'll be more clinicals for like 5 days. You have to travel somewhere. And then after that, I'll be doing practicum and then internship 1 and 2, and I'm graduated. So yeah, it's intense.
It's intense, but you're on the track. And so you're going into, it's going to be clinical mental health counseling. Is there a specific area within counseling that you want to focus on?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's one that I want to focus on, because clinical mental health counseling, I like it because it's pretty broad, versus maybe like marriage and family therapy or something else. But I would say one area that I've come to find that I don't necessarily want to focus on would be working with children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because going into my program, that was my focus, and it's definitely changed. And it's not for any other reason other than I just think that I'm more suited for handling issues with adults.
Totally, totally.
And there's a lot that goes in. I mean, I give so much kudos to people that work with children and adolescents, and it's so needed. But there are a lot of, you know, different ethical and legal considerations that you really have to be aware of. And for me, I just think I'm more suited for the adult population. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be my focus.
When you finish up your master's degree, what is going to be your goal right off the bat?
So my goal right off the bat, honestly, is just going to be, you know, finding my place in the community, because from the very beginning, I've always said that I want to give back to my community. Mm-hmm. I think it's super important. And I think that, you know, we definitely have some resources here, but I think that we can always use more. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be my biggest goal, is just I'm going to hit the ground running and start giving back to the community that, you know, raised me.
And you kind of already are giving back in a number of ways, but especially because you're already getting your foot in the door with the podcast. So I was really interested when I found out that you have this podcast. It's called The Psycho Girl. Could you kind of tell us first why you wanted to start a podcast, and then what The Psycho Girl podcast focuses on?
Yeah, so I wanted to start the podcast because, first of all, I love podcasts, and I think a lot of us kind of fell in love with them during like COVID, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. They've just really taken off. I'm a big true crime girl, and so of course I could talk about that all day, but I kind of had the idea after the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix series came out. You know, there was a lot of traffic on social media, and a lot of people were talking. And just watching some of the comments that people were making, there was just no regard for like the psychology aspect that goes right. into that. So, right. you know, people, and don't get me wrong, what Jeffrey Dahmer did was horrific. Mm-hmm, we can all agree. However, that goes back to that whole me needing to know why. You know, you don't just wake up one day and go and do the things that Jeffrey Dahmer did. So I'm like, why? You know, what happened in his childhood? What was he diagnosed with? And what does that diagnosis mean? And for someone like me, who is going to school for this, I can read these things and it makes sense to me. But I got the idea that that might not be the same for everyone. And especially because mental health isn't talked about near as much as it should be. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of confusion about stuff. And so I'm like, you know, I feel like I could, you know, start a podcast to inform the public a little bit, hopefully start discussions about things and maybe clear up some misconceptions and help educate people so that hopefully as time goes on, things like this, like you said, could be avoided in the future if someone had a place to talk or if they had the resources to get some help that they need to avoid horrible things, you know, so that they don't happen.
Well, I think that's a great point that you brought up on a macro level of someone like Jeffrey Dahmer, I mean, who's done all these horrible, atrocious things. He said, but there's reasons behind them. There's a history there. There's psychology there. And if we can take that down to the micro level of everyday moments, the person that sneers at you in line, the person that honks and cuts you off and gives you the thing, what's going on with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's being really mean and kind of not so nice toward you. If you're able to not be reactive, you can take that step back and be like, they've probably had a rough day, or they've had a rough life, or they've had this. And then that just leads, those dialogues, then those realizations just lead to overall more empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, like you said, on the micro level, a big thing for me too, that I talked about in the podcast in one of the episodes is, you know, we have PE, physical education. It's part of curriculum in schools everywhere. Why we do not have mental health curriculum in schools is just beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important to get this out there as much as possible. And if that's my podcast with the few listeners that I do have, then I feel like, you know, it's important. I think it's so important to talk about, to start working it into everyday life, because it is everyday life. Like, we all have either know someone that's experienced something with mental health, or we all have. I mean, honestly, we have mental health. It's just part of who we are. So we should be talking about it.
Well, we should be talking about it. Like you said, the only reason we're not is because of generational stigmas that have been passed down that are hopefully just getting a little bit wider, getting a little bit less frequent. No one wants to make it seem like there's anything wrong with them ever. So mm-hmm. parents don't want anything to feel like there's wrong, quote unquote, wrong with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not even enroll them into some of those classes. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Until those stigmas are gone, even doing those kinds of things is going to be difficult. And just thank you, though. Like you say, even if we, like this show, Mental Health Monday, Psycho Girl podcast, if we're not getting the huge audience that we'd like and love, at the very least, other people are seeing that those conversations are being had. They're like, well, they're talking about it, so I want to talk about it.
Yeah, and they're seeing us talk about it, and that it's normal. Like, that's the thing, is that I think that there's this big thing, like mental health issues. And so even with saying that, it's issues. Oh, there's a problem or an issue. And it's like, no, this is super normal. And like you were saying, you know, the generations of this stigma, and it really does go back to, you know, how mental health was viewed, you know, in the early 1900s, whatever, 1800s, whatever, where, you know, people were thought to be possessed,
mm-hmm,
evil.
Mm-hmm.
They were just put in asylums and just abandoned there. Like, it does take time to, you know, change the narrative. But I think that that's what we're trying to do with the podcast and with this show and just in general, like changing the narrative, because it doesn't have to be shameful. It doesn't have to be abnormal, because it's not.
Well, and it can lead to diagnoses of a plethora of other things, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you've been depressed for a number of years and you can't talk to people. And it turns out maybe because you have ADHD and you don't have social conversations the same way other people do. And you've realized that. So you've just shut up and quit talking, and that makes you depressed. And then not talking about those things won't lead to furthering a development in other areas.
Completely. Yeah, I totally agree. That reminds me, there was a class in my undergrad that stuck out to me. It was stood out to me.
You're good. You're good.
It was a school psychology class. And that is the point that they brought up, is that, you know, ADHD is so overly diagnosed in kids in school, when really, you know, this kid, he's not paying attention to what's going on the whiteboard, and he's jiggling in his seat, and he's, you know, doing whatever, when really he had issues with his eyes. Like, he mm-hmm. couldn't see the board. So rather than saying that, you know, he's not paying attention, and then he has ADHD and it's done. Or someone had, you know, a hearing impairment or something. And so, yeah, there's so many underlying things, and it's all connected. So I think it's just important to have these conversations so that you can get to the root of what's going on, and that we can all live, like, have healthier functioning all the way around.
And for anybody who's going through those issues or having those struggles, realizing that it is personalized, it's individual, it's not going to be the same for your friend or for a relative that it is for you when you go to get help or start talking about it. So you've got to be ready for that, and you've got to be mentally prepared. What works for others might not work for you.
Yeah, and on that same note, I think it's really important to realize too that if you ever have been to a counselor or a therapist and it was not your cup of tea, that's okay. And that does not mean that counseling doesn't work for you or that you shouldn't do it. That just means maybe you need a different therapist. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that therapist. It's just that, you know, that rapport building is like vital to the therapeutic relationship. And if maybe you just didn't vibe with that counselor, and that's totally fine. Find a different one. Go through 10 if you have to. I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit to get there, but once you get in that groove, it's so helpful. It's so beneficial. So don't give up after one or two tries if you haven't found someone.
I just thought of this comparison. You wouldn't go to the same barber that keeps on giving you a haircut that you don't like, right?
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
It may be a great haircut. It may be a great haircut, but it's not the one for you. But they keep giving you that same haircut, and you're like, this isn't working out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Just simple as that.
Now, with the Psycho Girl podcast, how can people listen to it? Where can they listen to it? And how frequently? We were kind of chatting before. You know, you're a very busy person. You're getting your master's. You're a mom, wife. You've got a number of hats that you wear. So it's not going to be a regular every week kind of thing for a little while here. But for the most part, how can people listen to it?
So I do want to just say that I am not super technologically savvy. But as of right now, you can find it on Spotify. I also just recently started an Instagram page, and it's at the Psycho Girl Podcast. And so the link to the podcast will be in the bio there. And cool. I plan to, for each episode, you know, put a post up so that I can have discussions with people. People can, you know, ask questions, whatever, because I want to be able to have that dialogue with my listeners. And so as of right now, it's just on Spotify. And I have done it weekly. So usually it is released on Wednesday of every week.
Okay.
Each new episode. However, this week has been a little bit crazy. It's finals week for me. And so the podcast that was supposed to be posted last night will actually be posted either today or tomorrow. So it is a weekly podcast, usually on Wednesdays. But if it's not on a Wednesday, give me a day and it'll be up there. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, love it. Once again, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. And then I'll send you the recording of this so you can have that be one of your podcast episodes too.
Yeah.
Done. This is just done. And now you've got an extra one that you can build from there. Rosie, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We really do appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up here today for Mental Health Monday. We've got more KOVE coming your way after a quick word from our sponsors.